The following message was given by brothers Robert Rios and Peter Shao in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, June 9th, 2019. The title of the message is Living Out and Working Out the New Jerusalem to Build Up Zion as the Reality of the Body of Christ. Scripture reading, Psalms chapter 20, verse 2. Psalms chapter 36, verses 8 and 9. Psalms chapter 48, verses 2 and 11 through 12. Psalms chapter 50, verse 2. Psalms chapter 53, verse 6a. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Revelation 2, verse 7. Revelation chapter 21, verses 2, 9 through 10, and 18 through 23. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5.
Oh, how we thank you these days, oh, for what you are showing us, what we have been seeing from your word, oh, through all the members of the body. Lord Jesus, thank you for all your economy. Oh, thank you for the vision of Christ in the church. Thank you for the vision of the New Jerusalem. Pray that you do unveil us, how we need a deeper seeing, that we may know what you're doing in us and among us, all to gain your final consummation, the New Jerusalem. Lord, we just depend on you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. Amen. As I got into this portion this week, I was just amazed. I can't remember an outline that had so many verses, so many references, and there are so many things that were covered in this message. And as I got into it, I realized, you know, there's a lot here, and I did enjoy a few things, and that's what you know I intend to share. But as I was preparing, I realized because of all the activities that we've had this week, that you know we've been busy, the blending and some other things, I didn't have time to finish my preparation. So I told the Lord, I need an hour and a half more, just one more page. And as I was parking, the Lord told me, no, you know, you have the members of the body. Isn't this what you're sharing, the reality of the body of Christ? So this is just an opening word. We expect that so many saints would come up and share your portion because in 20 minutes, 30 minutes, half an hour, we can't cover everything. There are so many riches in this portion, so we want all the saints to join in. We also want to be refreshed by you. You know, the title of this message is Living Out and Working Out the New Jerusalem to Build Up Zion as the Reality of the Body of Christ. I don't know how many of you had to read this over and over again. I did. Because even though the words are English and grammatically correct, I had a hard time understanding, well, which comes which? Is it the reality of the body of Christ? Isn't the New Jerusalem the ultimate, you know? And then this matter of the Zion, you know, we hardly ever touch this matter of Zion in an adequate way. We actually need a conference to speak about Zion. When I went through the concordance to find out what the references were, I was amazed to see how many references there are to Zion. And they're wonderful portions. They're all positive. So I hope we do enjoy the application of this message through, you know, especially through this title, Living Out and Working Out the New Jerusalem to Build Up Zion as the Reality of the Body of Christ. So this matter is really deep, and it's wonderful. And but just because it's deep doesn't mean that we can't get into it. Little by little, portion by portion, we'll get through it, and we'll get into it. Amen. May the Lord bring us into this reality. So the New Jerusalem is a sign. We read that in Revelation 1:1, that this revelation was the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Jesus Christ, to show him the things that must quickly take place, and he made it known by signs. And we know that signs are symbols with spiritual significance. And the last sign and the greatest sign in the whole Bible is the New Jerusalem. It's the all-encompassing and all-completing sign. The New Jerusalem is the ultimate goal of God's work in and among men. It's the consummate goal. Once this is done, the Lord is finished working with men. But we have to remember that the New Jerusalem is not a place that we're going to. This was my concept before I came to the church, and this still remains the concept of many, because it's described in such physical terms in the Bible. But the New Jerusalem, as revealed through the ministry, is actually a person. So we're not going to the New Jerusalem, as our brother always mentions, but we're becoming the New Jerusalem. We can see this in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, where it says, we can go to that portion, and where there, it says that the New Jerusalem comes out of heaven prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And then if we go to verses 9 and 10, it says that I come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. So when I first read Revelation and I came to this portion, I thought, well, the New Jerusalem is being prepared, sort of like in an outward way, even the way a bride prepares herself to be the bride, right? But then when you come to 9 and 10, it makes it so clear that this bride is the wife of the Lamb. So then you realize that this is not a physical place. This is a person. The wife of the Lamb, we see in Ephesians and in Corinthians, that the church is the wife of the Lord, the wife of the Lamb, right? So the wife of the Lamb here is referring to us, the corporate body of Christ. And so we're not becoming the new, we're not going to the New Jerusalem, we're becoming the New Jerusalem. We are being prepared to be the New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And you know, a bride is most pleasant, beautiful person in the world. I remember when I was married, you know, there's no argument, there's no discussion, you know, you're just there with your bride, and by the end of the day, your cheeks hurt because there's so much smiling. You know, it's a wonderful time, you know. To be a bride and to be the bridegroom is really wonderful. And this is just a picture. Not to sidetrack, but the bride to the Lord is the most beautiful and pleasant person. Amen. And the beauty of the bride is actually Christ himself. Christ himself is our beauty. But how does he become our beauty? Well, we need Christ to be wrought into us so that he can be expressed through us. You know, the Bible speaks of Christ being wrought into our being. You know, wrought means that something has to be fashioned, formed. You know, there has to be some work done so that this thing can be wrought into what the expression of what it's supposed to be. And so how do we get this beauty? Christ has to be wrought into us. Well, we realize through the ministry also that it is by enjoying Christ, by enjoying Christ as the embodiment of the triune God, the God who is realized as the life-giving Spirit. Today we can enjoy the life-giving Spirit. But how do we enjoy the life-giving Spirit? Well, in Revelation we have a window of view as to how we can do this. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, it says that to the church in Ephesus that the Lord will give to him who overcomes to eat of the tree of life. And there are two wonderful footnotes in this portion that explain the matter of eating. And you know, the matter of eating is covered in three of the churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Of the seven churches, three are promised the matter of eating. One is here, to eat of the tree of life. And then in Pergamos, the Lord promises them that they would eat of the hidden manna. And then the church in Laodicea, the Lord promises even to dine with them. It's not just an eating, but a rich feasting of many, many kinds of foods. The Lord is our rich feast, so we can eat and drink of him. So I just want to read a few portions of this footnote in Revelation chapter 2, verses 7, 6. God's original intention was that man should eat of the tree of life. Through the redemption of Christ, the way by which man could touch the tree of life, which is God himself in Christ as life, to man was opened again. And we touched this with the matter with the children yesterday. It was wonderful. They received it. But in the church's degradation, religion crept in with its knowledge to distract the believers in Christ from eating him as the tree of life. Hence, the Lord promised to grant the overcomers to eat of himself as the tree of life in paradise. And then it goes on, the eating of the tree of life not only was God's original intention concerning man, but also will be the eternal issue of God's redemption. All God's redeemed people will enjoy the tree of life, which is Christ, with all the divine riches as the redeemed's eternal portion for eternity. And then the brother concludes more or less, eating the tree of life, that is, enjoying Christ as our life supply, should be the primary matter in the church. The content of the church life depends on the enjoyment of Christ. The more we enjoy him, the richer the content will be. So the way to become the New Jerusalem, to be prepared as the bride, is by eating. When we eat the Lord, we are reconstituted with the riches of Christ, and we become what Christ is. Amen. As his counterpart, to express him. Amen. And then the title goes on to speak about the working out of the New Jerusalem. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, we see that the Lord is working, right, himself into our being. Therefore, brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, I always thought that this portion meant that we need to abound in the work of the Lord because our labor is not in vain. There's that aspect, but a deeper aspect that I realize is that God is working himself into us. And the more he works into himself into us, that he wants to work himself out of us so that there's an expression. And he wants to work himself out in such a way that we minister him to one another. When Christ is brought into us, when he's worked himself into us, we labor, we minister to share the riches of Christ with the saints, with one another. And a good time to do that is in the fellowship meetings, but also at home, in the home meetings and the group meetings. And especially, I enjoyed so many years in my in-laws' home around the table on the Lord's Day. So many saints would come together and you would enjoy the riches of Christ, imparting him one to another. And we encourage one another in this way. So this is a practical way to dispense the riches of Christ into one another. In message 6, there's also this quote, the work of the Lord is for us to minister the building God into people and to minister the builded God into people. The builded God is the God who is built into our constitution. And this requires us to eat the Lord and allow him to work himself into every part of our being. We need to eat the Lord. We need to learn and pray that the Lord would teach us how to minister the builded and building God into people. You know, this is a matter of practice. We're not constituted in this way to speak the builded God into people. I mean, you go into a normal Christian who's not in the church and you speak to them in this way, they don't understand. We need to learn how to speak, minister Christ to them so that they could enjoy something. they could be brought into the enjoyment of the Christ that we enjoy, and also that we can learn how to enjoy the Christ that they enjoy. Then we come to this matter of Zion. Here's another quote. The Lord's recovery is to build up Zion as the reality of the body of Christ by living out and working out the New Jerusalem as the highlight and beauty of the holy city, Amen. Jerusalem. I need to slow down because I remember a sister told me once that I speak too fast. Zion typifies the overcomers as the high peak. the center, the uplifting, the strengthening, the enriching, the beauty, and the reality of the church. You know, in the old city of Jerusalem, there was this mountain, and it's called Zion. And it was here that David's city was built. Zion is the center, and then Jerusalem is the circumference. And I always have a hard time with the matter of Zion, but I figured, let me go back to the Concordance and check out Zion. And I found that the first occurrence of the word Zion is in 2 Samuel 2:7. I believe it's 2 Samuel 2:7. And there it mentions that David was anointed as king in Hebron, and then he and his mighty men came and they took the mountain, the stronghold of the Jebusites, which was Jerusalem. And there they built their kingdom. But then the second reference is in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, I believe it is. Oh, chapters 11 and 12. And there's a rich description of Zion and how David the king and his mighty men of valor were just the center, the enrichment, the strength of Zion. And it mentions the mighty deeds that they did. There was one who slew 300 men with one spear. And then there was a time when the Philistines took over this barley field, and the 30 men of David went to that field and stood themselves in that field, and eventually from there they drove the Philistines out of that area and returned it back to the children of Israel. You know, it's interesting that it mentions that it was a barley field, because we know that barley signifies resurrection. So it signifies that these men who are actually the overcomers, they are fighting in resurrection. So they took the city, and then there are other stories. Very, it's wonderful. I always enjoy coming to that portion because it's such. It just gives us a picture of how David's kingdom was established. So this Zion, the way we apply the Zion today is that Jerusalem signifies the church, and Zion signifies the overcomers within the church. Now, don't be alarmed, you know. Don't think, oh, am I an overcomer? Most of us will say, well, I'm not an overcomer. So, no, don't think that way. We all need to be overcomers. We need to be overcomers in our daily situations, in whatever situation we're in, within in our jobs, at school, at work, even with ourselves. We need to overcome. And the simplest way is by calling on the name of the Lord and enjoying the Lord as our rich content and fellowshipping with one another. We need to overcome, and the Lord expects us to overcome in all our situations. Whether we're ultimately overcomers or not, that depends on the Lord to one extent. But it also depends on us. We need to be those who have, there's one psalm that says we need to be resolute in heart, resolve to pursue the Lord, to give ourselves to the Lord, not let anything hold you back. Amen. Amen. So, eventually, the overcomers are today's Zion for the consummation and the building up of the body. The body can't be built up without the overcomers, without those who are the real Zion. And in order to complete the building up of the body, the Lord needs the overcomers. And the building up of the body consummates in the New Jerusalem. This is why at the end of the Bible, the last book, there's the calling for the overcomers. And in Revelation chapter 4, we see the overcomers there standing in Zion with the Lord. So the overcomers as Zion are the reality of the body of Christ and consummate the building up of the body of Christ in the local churches to bring in the consummated holy city. Praise the Lord. And the New Jerusalem is the Holy of Holies as God's dwelling place in eternity. And in Revelation chapter 21, it indicates that the Holy of Holies is square. It's a square. And then also in chapter 22, it shows us God's temple. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So God becomes our dwelling, and we become God's dwelling. We're mingled together as one for God's expression and ultimate consummation. So I think I should stop here because there's something more that I enjoyed, but I want all of you to share something also. Amen.
The outline, the title of the message this week was Living Out and Working Out the New Jerusalem to Build Up Zion as the Reality of the Body of Christ. And I want to go back to those verses in the Psalms. If you could go to Psalms 22, we might look at that later. You know, as Brother Robert said, in the Old Testament, Jerusalem and Zion, or some say Mount Zion, are mentioned repeatedly. And the city of Jerusalem had Zion as the center. And Mount Zion, as our brother also shared, was one of the mountains on which the city of Jerusalem was built. So Zion was the center, and Jerusalem is the circumference. In fact, you can say that Zion was the highlight and the beauty of Jerusalem. So that's the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, all these types have a spiritual significance. And the significance is that Jerusalem today is the church. And Zion typifies the overcomers. And we can see this because in Revelation 14, verse 1, there when it's describing Mount Zion, it says that the overcomers are standing with the Lamb on Mount Zion. So Mount Zion does typify the overcomers. Now, you remember I said that Zion is the highlight, the beauty of Jerusalem? Then spiritually speaking, the overcomers are the highlight, are the beauty, are the uplifting, are the strengthening, are the enriching, and the high peak, and the center and the reality of the church life. So for example, look at chapter 20, verse 2. This verse says, "May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion." Here you can see Zion is the strengthening of Jerusalem. Support you from Zion. Let's go to chapter 48, verse 2. Here it's describing Zion. It says Zion is what? Beautiful in elevation. So Zion is the high peak, the elevated part of Jerusalem. And let's go to chapter 50, verse 2. This verse is marvelous. It says, "Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth." Wow, this verse shows that Zion is the beauty of Jerusalem. So you see, Zion is the beauty, is the strengthening, is the enriching, is the high peak, is the center, the reality. It's all these things of Jerusalem. So the overcomers are all these things in the church as well. Now I want to say something about Zion. And that is, Zion is the high peak, the beauty of the church life. And you know, saints, have you ever seen Zion in the church life? Consider that. Have you ever seen the high peak, the beauty of the church life? Consider for a moment. Have you ever seen that? And I just share an experience with you. About a month ago, in my district, we started the corporate prayer meeting at Hall 7. And about a month ago, during our corporate prayer meeting, that Tuesday, it was raining quite a bit. And you know, many saints, you know, when it rains, it's like suddenly you can't really get to the meetings, right? And so during that day when it was raining and it seemed like it was getting heavier and heavier, I just had a real concern, and I prayed to the Lord. I said, you know, Lord, it's raining like this. Lord, how's your prayer meeting going to be like? Please save your prayer meeting. Because saints, if no one prays, the Lord can't move. And so I prayed, and then at 7:30, I went to the meeting, and I sat down. And then eventually, the saints started to come in one by one. It was one, it was two, it was five, it was 10, it was 15, it was 20, it was 25. Eventually, we had almost 30 saints, which was about a third of our saints at our district, on a heavily raining day in the corporate prayer meeting. And when I saw all those saints there, despite the heavy rain, I couldn't help but think, this is the high peak of the church life. These saints are the beauty of the church life. No matter the obstacle, no matter the price, no matter how tired they are, I dare say no matter their age, they present their bodies for the church life. Saints, in our church life, there is a high peak. There is a Zion. Actually, many of the older saints among us, they are the high peak. Because even though they can't do much, but when the church really needs to count on someone, they are there. Saints, when the church is counting on you, can you be there? Can you present your bodies? I would say that to present our bodies is a basic factor in our living out the New Jerusalem, in our working out the New Jerusalem, in our part of being Zion. Oh, when we see these saints, these saints are the beauty, the high peak, the center of the church life. Now, I just want to share my last point here, which is a point of application. You know, we may think that our brother Robert said, we think of Zion, we think of the high peak, and our thought might be, that's high peak. I can't reach it. Or even this past week, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why can't someone else be Zion? Why can't I just be Jerusalem? I'm okay if Brother Roger wants to be Zion. Why should I be Zion? Saints, did you ever think that? Oh, you know, if you need the brothers to, if you want saints to speak, just, you know, those have those usual saints, have them speak. It's okay if I just sit here. I mean, we have thoughts like this all the time, don't we? But, you know, saints, we really need to have a spirit of pursuit. Because one day, you will be the New Jerusalem, whether you like it or not. And so it's better to start practicing now. And this past week, I really enjoy this one point of application from the outline. This is one way we can live out and work out the New Jerusalem. Just one point. It says, to live out and work out the New Jerusalem, to build up Zion as the reality of the body of Christ, we must hold on to this principle. And this is the key principle here. God's presence is the criterion for every matter. God's presence is the criterion for every matter. You know, we have to, when I see a line like this, we have to ask ourselves, Lord, is your presence the criterion for everything that I do? Consider everything that you do during the day. You work, school, you're at home. Is God's presence our criterion? Even doing something spiritual. For example, for the longest time, when I would spend time with the Lord, this is how I would spend it. I come to the Word, or I come to my hymnal, I sing something, I read something. Okay, it's about half an hour or about 45 minutes. Okay, done. And then I go to work. But you know, saints, eventually I realize something. God's presence needs to be the criterion of my Bible reading. God's presence needs to be the criteria of your spending time with the Lord. So I ask you, when you are reading the Bible, is God's presence your criterion? It's very possible to read the Bible without having God's presence. Actually, there's a verse in the Bible for that. In 2 Peter 1:19, Peter says, "And we have the prophetic word made more firm, to which you do well to give heed, as to a lamp shining in a dark place." And how do we give heed to the word? It says, "Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Brothers and sisters, when you are reading the Bible, when you are spending time with the Lord, does the morning star rise in your heart? Or are you like me for the longest time? You read it, half an hour, done. I've recently been actually trying to learn this. Whenever I read the Bible now, I just read. And I don't give myself I had done the whole chapter a day, chapter, whatever, all those plans. But this time I decided I'm going to read until I feel like I have God's presence. So I would read, and then when I feel like the Lord's presence is there, I would stop and enjoy the Lord. You know, brothers and sisters, I realized, wow, my Bible reading needs to have God's presence as the criterion. Our spending time with the Lord needs to have God's presence as the criterion. If we read the word and the day doesn't dawn in our hearts, don't stop reading. Keep reading until the day dawns in our hearts. And then another verse I want to share with you all relates to this question. Is I ask myself, well, Lord, how would I know that I have your presence? If your presence is the criterion, how would I know? How would I know in any situation that I have your presence? And one of the verses this week in the outline was precious. Exodus 33:14. When Moses told Jehovah that, "I don't want to go anywhere unless your presence goes with me." And Jehovah God said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. You know, this verse is tremendous because it indicates that one of the measures, one of the indicators that we have God's presence is, saints, whether you have the rest in your being. If you're about to go somewhere and you don't have the rest about it, don't go there. Or you can go there, but you won't have God's presence. If I'm about to say something, but I feel like, oh, it's going to give me a lot of unrest, I feel uneasy about it, oh, you better not say that thing. Because the moment you say it, you might lose the Lord's presence. This verse shows us that when the Lord's presence goes with us, He will give us rest. And then there was also a verse on God's presence here about the Spirit being the presence of Christ. And it says that the Spirit is the presence of Christ with our spirit. We must live and act in the person of Christ, in the presence of Christ, according to the index of His whole person expressed in His eyes. And what this verse is talking about is, at the time, Paul was forgiving a brother. And when he forgave this brother, he didn't say, "I forgive this brother." He actually said, "I forgave this brother in the person of Christ." Now, that word "person" there in the Greek literally means the part around the eyes, the index of the eyes. So what does that mean? That means when Paul forgave this brother, Paul forgave that brother in the index of the eyes of Christ, in the face of the Lord's eyes. You know, this point is precious because this shows that God's presence is all in His eyes. It's all in the index of His eyes. You know, I a great part of my marriage life, I have to share this too, because I mean, Brother Ed shared about it too, and I fully agree with him. A great part of my church, my marriage life, is to live according to the index of my wife's eyes. Is to live according to the eyes of my wife, because what her eyes say, it tells me a lot. Right? Actually, one time, and this might be silly, and I apologize for being silly, but one time I did this, I said, "Janet," I said, "I'm gonna go like this. And I'm going to have certain emotions. And can you tell me what I'm feeling at that moment? So I hid my face and I only showed my eyes. And I try to be happy, try to be sad. And she almost nailed every single one of those emotions. Brothers and sisters, our eyes say a lot about us. In the same way, the eyes of Christ say a lot about the Lord's feelings. When we have the Lord's presence, we have to look at his eyes. Okay. And then I'll just, this is kind of my concluding paragraph here. I'll just read this. So brothers and sisters, we have to answer the call to be an overcomer, to live according to the Lord's presence, and to apply all these aspects that are ascribed to the New Jerusalem. In Revelation, the Spirit sounded a call in the church to the overcomers. The Spirit said, to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes. And he says it almost seven times. The Lord did not sound the call to be average. The Lord didn't say to those who stay in the church life for 20 years, to those who've been around for a while, or to those who this and that. The Lord said to those, to him who overcomes. The call was sounded to be what? To be Zion, to be overcomers. So may we answer the Lord's call to be Zion, to be the high peak of the church, to be the beauty of the church, to be the highlight of the church, to be the enriching of the church, to be the strengthening of the church. You know, saints, one practical aspect related to this is that, you know, saints, if we are the enriching of the church, then whenever we're in a church meeting, and the meeting feels like it's about to go down a little bit, we would never allow that meeting to die. Actually, Brother Paul, you taught us that in the training, didn't you? You said when you go back to your locality and you're in the meetings, exercise your spirit. Don't let the meeting die. Anyway, I speak this to you all, to myself. This is what the Lord put on my heart. I hope we will all have the aspiration and practice the presence of the Lord and to be the Zion, the highlight, the beauty of the church life. Amen. And now it's your turn to share.